I'll do it again tighter. Ladies and gentlemen, hey everybody, welcome back onto This Moment, the transatlantic bridge connecting Stockholm, Sweden to Harlem, USA. As our longtime listeners know, this podcast was born at the outset of the pandemic, but truly blossomed during the uprising of the summer 2020 and the global Black Lives Matter movement. Now, since the beginning of this podcast, there has been one dream guest that we have wished to have and welcome onto the podcast. And today, she is finally here. Tamika D. Mallory, who gave the State of Emergency speech 2020. You remember it if you saw it.
Last night, we heard the President of the United States say that when the looting starts, the shooting starts, which we know is a reference to another racist time in the history of America where police abused our people.
It was a powerful and defining, significant moment of last year. And it is something that I know our kids will be watching 20, 30 years from now. She wants to invite people who don't feel like we have the experience of having been on the front lines in the way that she and many others have been. She's just released her new book, State of Emergency, How We Win in the Country We Built, on Charlemagne the God's imprint, Black Privilege. And she is here, ladies and gentlemen.
We are in a state of emergency. Black people are dying in a state of emergency. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident.
Let's jump in.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We got royalty in the house. We got to get going. We got Queen.
I know,
Queen
man.
T.
We got double royalty in the house. Welcome to the show, Tamika.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with y'all. You know, Marcus, as far as I'm concerned, this is like a big fangirl moment for me. You know, I'm usually outside of Red Rooster, like trying to get in. Nobody, no one cared. They didn't know that I was important. So they were like, you're going to wait like all these other important people. But mm-hmm. I've had incredible moments downstairs for major events and also Sunday brunch at the bar. And I, you know, I'm grateful to all the folks in Harlem. You know, Sylvia's is the place that I go. It's almost like my kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly in Harlem, and it's good to just see that we have populated the space. So it makes me feel good to be with y'all today too.
Tamika, let me just set it off and say that, you know, Marcus and I started this podcast in May 2020, and we were talking mostly about the pandemic, how it was affecting us, and then the murder of George Floyd happened. And one of the first viral moments, other than the brutal footage of the killing that we saw, was you speaking, I believe at least I saw it on June 1st, 2020, your speech where you talk about the state of emergency. Now we are almost less than a year or almost a year exact from that moment, and your book, State of Emergency, is out. Like, how is it even humanly possible for you to write a book and at the same time You know, I've been following you on the internet. I know you're in all the places in Minneapolis. You've been with Breonna Taylor's family, like living the life of an activist, being on the road, dedicating yourself to this. And I'm sure all the blowback and politics involved in it. How are you able to block it out and write a book in the span of a year?
Jason, let me tell you something. You're asking the question of all questions right now. Like, so happy you asked, because it gives me the opportunity to like lay down on a couch and tell about my troubles. It was really hard. It was really hard. It was an incredibly aggressive timeline. You know, from the day of the speech, first of all, if you think about it, you made it seem like it was a year process, but it really wasn't. It was just a few months, because from the day of the speech, it took a while before I got a book offer, right? And then once I had a deal and I was really close to signing the deal, I learned of Charlemagne's first imprint, his imprint, Black Privilege Publishing. And, you know, when I learned about the fact that Charlemagne was, you know, now going to be able to publish my book, it took some time of thinking, what is the right way? I had other Black women that were asking me to work with them. So there was some negotiation, there was all types of things, but I chose to work with my brother, who has been such a great support system for me so many years. Charlemagne he's just done so much to try to uplift me and to try to get other people to support and to see the work that we're doing. And so I felt only right that I would have first of all, the fact that he was even willing to take a chance on a racial justice book, the first book. I'm a new author, and knowing that, you know, we weren't sure what would happen. We already know that Black authors and Black publishers struggle. And so now we're putting those two things together. I was concerned. I didn't know, but he took the chance. I took the chance, and we're doing great. We're number one in several categories right now. So thank God for that. Absolutely. But you know, to go through the negotiation process, which meant it was later in the summer before I actually signed a contract and started writing. And I was writing with another woman by the name of Ashley Antoinette, who really helped me. She helped me to get focused, but I was also living in Louisville, Kentucky, standing with Breonna Taylor's family and the local community on a regular basis. Now, I don't know if you know anything about organizing, but as you said, there are lots of politics, there's struggle, there was surveillance by authorities and others that we've never really been able to figure out who those individuals may be. We also dealt with, you know, a lot of attacks. And also the interpersonal relationships of trying to operate in the town that doesn't belong to you. You're going into other communities, and they, you know, and they want to know, who are you and why are you here? We didn't know Breonna Taylor's family, so we were getting to know them. I was living in a home with three other individuals, the co-founders of Until Freedom, that I love very much, but we've never lived together before. So this was a lot happening, and we contracted COVID during the time while all of that was happening, but I still had deadlines of the chapters that had to be finished, and I had to sit still and do that work. And now if the book is out, like if it's in your hand, that means for a few months it's been submitted and it's being printed and all of those things. So we're talking about a very short timeline. But after the speech went viral, it was very clear to me that people needed it. They needed it, and they were hungry for the knowledge, the information, and the experience. And so it almost felt like it was my ministry to sit and work on this book.
Yeah, and I just want you to know, I'm sitting in Stockholm, Sweden right now, and that state of emergency speech on June 1st echoed across the world. And as you, I'm sure you're aware of, Black Lives Matter, and that cry for justice for people of African descent and just non-white people of the world was global at the inception of BLM. But this time around, 2020, it was times 10. You know, literally, you had thousands of people in this town, tens of thousands of people out on the streets because of what they'd seen right. happen in Minneapolis and that connectivity that existed in that. And I would say that, you know, hearing you speak there in Minneapolis, I believe you were in Minneapolis when you were given that speech, was something that put fire to all of us around the world. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I don't think it was just George Floyd. I think that was a part of it. But I think this has been building over time, number one. And I also don't want us to forget that just months before, people were running with Ahmaud. Remember, Ahmaud Arbery had been killed. And people watched the videos that were out there showing him literally, I think Sean King was the first one to put out videos that showed him being blown away, literally after being hunted and sought out, sought after and targeted by white supremacists. So that was one piece. And again, Ahmaud, he was similar to Breonna Taylor, had been deceased for some time before people even found out about it. And before his mother, Wanda Cooper, was able to get the type of attention that she finally found from Lee Merritt and attorney Ben Crump. And again, Sean King and others who got involved and helped to make Ahmaud Arbery's name ring in society. So that was one. And now we're starting to find out. We're just in the process in these days while George Floyd has been killed. We're beginning to find out that a woman in Louisville, Kentucky has been shot to death in her home. And now, and then we it culminates with this moment of George Floyd being murdered on camera in the most painful way that any of us have seen. I mean, this is something that I think it was something that, you know, I don't think we have seen in the most gruesome nature since lynching.
There's so many avenues that I want to go down with you, Tamika, but take us inside the book, you know, the state of emergency speech. And now, you know, you have the book in your hands, you're talking about it, you're all over the networks, it's out, it's on top of the charts. Take us inside the book for a minute.
There's a lot of good things in the book and a lot of great information. I do cover history to make sure, you know, Ella Baker once said that, you know, we have to really understand the history. It's not just knowing it, but it's understanding it. And so I think every time that we get an opportunity to talk about the history of this 400 plus year period since we were stolen from our land and brought here to a place that we've never been properly respected in and have never had equity and justice, you know, I do go into that. But I also talk about a prescription for working together to push past these things. What's the role of each of us in the community? What is the role of the relationship that we have with the Latino community, with the African community, with the diaspora, if you will? What is the relationship there? And the foreword of my book was very intentional for me. I took the time to track down and use my relationship with Charlamagne, and then of course, thank God, Cardi B actually follows me on social media, and she and I had a number of conversations. And then I had to track down Dr. Angela Davis using my friend Philip Agnew and others, and I got both of these people to agree, incredible icons, to agree that they would be in conversation with one another at the beginning of the book in this foreword. And for me, that was important because I wanted to set the tone that when someone picked up the book, they're automatically, doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, what their background is. They could be the janitor working in the church and the pastor. It could be the doctor and, you know, a child on the street corner. It could be a mother and her son. It could be a young girl working in a strip club, that everybody would find themselves in these pages. I really wanted to sure that this book was one that is for all of us, that we all experience it together and that we use it as a tool for how we move forward and how we actually one day receive justice and true equity in America.
And I think that it's brilliant to start the book with the forewords of a conversation of those two, as you say, icons. It's intergenerational. It's Angela Davis, of course, an icon from from the civil rights era and with, you know, deep ideological roots to somebody who's more connected to the streets and to young pop culture today, but who is also, I'm personally impressed by Cardi B. I mean, she's also in a way that not a lot of artists of her stature, stuck her neck out and talked and commented on politics along the way in these past 4 or 5 years.
She's not just commented. She's been behind supporting families, supporting causes. I worked with Alicia Keys, Rhapsody, and a number of other individuals to pull a group together. And we worked on a public service campaign, if you will, for Breonna Taylor, and specifically to push for Breonna's law to be passed in Louisville, Kentucky. It was legislation that was being worked on by a sister named Keturah Horan. And we worked together to ensure that this campaign would be one filled with the highest level voices. When you think about Ellen DeGeneres, Jada Pinkett, I don't even want to get in trouble for trying to name all of the incredible women. It's something that I think if folks haven't seen it, they should go back and look it up. And the campaign was, do you know what happened to Breonna Taylor? Cardi was one of those that we invited to be a part of it. She got on a call and literally reshaped the whole vision in just moments. She helped pull the ideas together. She gave direction. She gave her support. And of course, she turned in her video. And that to me let me know that Cardi is much more clear about her role than many of us may think. She knows what she's doing. She understands that her music may not be role model music. She knows that she's out here twerking and doing her thing. But I have to be honest, and I've been saying it everywhere that I go because I want people to know that the reason why I chose these two individuals outside of the idea that, I wanted it to be accessible, but I also find myself being a mixture between Cardi B and Angela Davis on any given moment. You can catch me twerking and working, right?
Yeah.
If I go to a new city, when I hit a new city and I'm working with the community there, I'm looking for the local juke joint. I'm looking for the local spots. Where does everybody go out? And I like to have a good time, and that's okay. But I have a good time tonight, and tomorrow morning I'm back up on the battlefield. And I think that that is what we should focus our attention on more than, critiquing people for things that we don't agree with. I would say that this conversation between Angela Davis and Cardi is so powerful because Angela Davis is telling her how important she is to the movement. She's telling that you have a seat at the table.
That is profound because I think many people may hesitate to get involved in things because they may lack knowledge, background, the proper words, the proper diction to speak about topics. But this is a very inclusive and inviting way to invite the reader into your book.
I mean, I feel same. I feel the same. When I'm sitting in certain rooms and I'm on certain TV shows and I feel at times that I don't belong. I grew up in the projects in Harlem. I'm a young girl who had a baby at 18 years old. And within 2 years, my son's father was shot to death. He was left in a ditch for 2 weeks before he was discovered. That's my story. That's where I came from. I have a son that's 22 years old. We literally have grown up together from collecting food stamps and welfare to where I am today. So trust and believe that when I walk into these rooms, I don't always feel comfortable. I don't always have the right words. I didn't go to Harvard. Although I did graduate from college, I still, I suffer with those insecurities as well. But one thing I know is that my personal experience makes me more qualified than some people who've actually studied this work. And I think that when you put the two things together, the study and the experience, that's where you find the path forward. And so, you know, so that's what I want state of emergency to be for folks, to be a place where you can look, you can read and find yourself in the pages. I'm Tamika D. Mallory, and you're listening to This Moment.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tamika, let me ask you this. I was thinking so much, just like Jason and I said, we really followed you. We really admire you being out there. We admire the work, the voice that you are. What was the conversation you and your son had, you know, by you being an activist and being out there very publicly? He must have been worried about you. Can you let us in on some of those private conversations between you and your son?
This is a funny question, Marcus, because let me tell you, the relationship between my son and me, we go just like every other parent. Up down on a roller coaster. Happy that he and I are speaking today, because 2 weeks ago we weren't speaking, and it's the struggle and the back and forth of real life parenting, right? In which there are times when he looks at me and he says, "You know what? Like, you're just way too much for me. And by the way, you're acting like you're perfect, and you are not. And I have experienced a lot of things, you know, while going through your life with you." And I have to take that. I have to honestly sit there and look at him and say, "You know what? I respect the fact that I left you." That's why I dedicated State of Emergency to him. My book is his book. And I did that because I wanted him to know that in the moments when you were experiencing challenges, where you were playing basketball, where you were having a tough time with a teacher or another person. And even, you know, maybe my parents were getting on him too much because that's where he found refuge. Had me. And that's painful. And I get it. I understand. But I still demand respect. And I still demand that he go out and do what is right. I still check him on his stuff. And so, you know, he used to, he's better at 22, but he used to try to use my issues against me. And I would recenter the conversation. And my son comes from a family of activists. We were raised in Harlem. I was raised in Harlem. My son in the Bronx. My parents have been activists my entire life. So at every corner that he turns, he's getting the knowledge. You know, he's getting the knowledge. He's around people who know the work, who understand what has to be done to fight for justice. And those he accepts it. He honors it. He knows it. He understands clearly his role.
Yeah.
However, he's 22, so you can't tell him anything about how to do it, when
we
to
all
do
been
it,
there.
Why to do it. It's his.
We all been there.
And that's what people tell me. They say, go back and think about your 22 year old self. And when I do that, it reminds me that I might as well just leave him alone and let him do it in his own time.
But I do think you are what he's going to do, right? Which is really important. We needed, sometimes when we think about activism, we think about Martin Luther King, we think about the past, right? But the way you are out there, for me, it represents this moment so well, because the way you started it by giving that speech, your Instagram connection, the way you connect with Cardi, but still you don't forget about the past. So you bring on a queen like Angela Davis, for example. So it's always this look back to the past, but it's also present and future. And I do think that just like we have to pivot how we come back to the new normal, activism is also in this intersectioning of changing how it can look like and feel like. And you're partnering with Charlemagne the God and his publishing company. So for me, there's many intersections of past, present, future that this book and your journey really represent to me, Cal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, and I don't think it's a new model because, you know, Dr. King had sort of the entertainers of his time, right? When you think about the movie, I think it was One Night in Miami that just came out, which is a great film. And it shows Muhammad Ali, you know, in the room with Malcolm X, right? And Sammy Davis Jr. Well,
no, Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke.
It's in Overtown in Miami, absolutely.
And Sam Cooke, all in the same room, struggling and having conversation about the work. And then they're all going to approach it in different ways. And that's just a reality that we all have to accept, that none of us is going to do it exactly the same. And in fact, the diversity among us is what will give more people an entryway to get in the fight. We oftentimes struggle with this idea, and I used to be this way, but I had to grow past it, where I thought things should be done a certain way. And that's what I saw, that's what I knew, but that's exactly what I had to learn or unlearn, that it's not just what I know that will work. It is actually a sort of melting pot and a soup, if you will, in the words of Marcus Samuelson, you know, it's a soup, if you will, that has to be cooked up of different types of people that come from different backgrounds. But we all have to know that the goal is the same.
And I think, Tamika, also just to also chime into what Marcus was saying, your speech on June 1st and then seeing Kimberly Jones' clip, the Monopoly metaphor, Black women were much more at the forefront of being the most passionately vocal and kind of captivating voices of the movement in 2020. I mean, being at the pulpit, so to speak, you know?
Black women have always been the foundation. We're always doing the work. We were always behind the scenes getting it done. There would not be a I have a dream moment in the way in which Dr. King said that speech if it had not been for Mahalia Jackson, who was standing off to the side telling him, Dr. King, tell him about the dream. Tell him about the dream. You know, people should look at that part of history where, you know, you can hear her actually calling out. He's giving a speech. The speech, of course, is great, but she wants him to hit that key, you know, hit that note that she knows resonate. And so she starts telling him, tell him about the dream, Martin, tell him about the dream. That's a powerful moment where a woman helped to inspire Dr. King and a king, if you will, you know, to inspire the people. And so we know women have been there, but we are now being celebrated. We're being uplifted. Our voices are at the forefront. And I think it's incredibly important that we don't marginalize our men. We're not here to do away with the men who have been strong advocates, strong voices, and strong leaders. My organization at Until Freedom, our co-chairs are diverse. Men and our co-founders, rather, are diverse, men and women. And so we want to make sure that that remains. But we also want to make room for Black trans women. We also make room for other members of the LGBTQIA community. We want to make room for youth to be at the forefront and not to have them feel as if they must take a seat at the back of the room and don't speak until your time. Their time to speak is right now in this moment. And I also feel like, you know, we have to make sure that if we are looking for solutions, if we're talking about solution-based strategies, that we do that in conjunction, in collaboration, again, back to that personal experience with the Ray Rays and Keishas of our society, because who better to sit at the forefront of planning and organizing than those people who are living in the communities being impacted on a daily basis?
Well, Tamika, we know you have to go. You're busy. You're launching your book. We thank you for coming on this moment. And a life goal for both Jason and myself is to take you to Stockholm and do an event with you in Stockholm, because if there's any place that hears you but needs to really take in your message, it's a different conversation, but we can learn so much from your journeys. We would love to do that. And congratulations to all you accomplished. We really appreciate you. And thank you for coming on this moment.
Thank you all so much. The two of you, you made me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I appreciate y'all so much for having me on. I want to come back, and I definitely want to go to Stockholm. So you set it up, and I will.
We'll set it up. Thank you for taking the time, Tamika. Just an honor to be in conversation with you.
Peace,
and
Queen.
We're behind you 100%.
Love to.
You know.
Thank
so
you.
Keep
Congrats
on doing
again.
What you're
Peace.
Doing.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. The life of an activist to me is one fraught with strife, struggle, I'm sure with great, you know, energizing and love also. But to anyone who immerses themselves and gives their life to a struggle in the way that Tamika Mallory does, sets an example for all of us. A special shout out and thank you to Sheeta Carr for helping us set this up. A huge thank you to Tamika Mallory for taking time out of her virtual book tour and super busy activist life and schedule to come on this moment and speak to us. That to me, I thought, was just very magnanimous and inspiring and energizing to hear. Hit us up with your comments, your feelings, your reactions, your suggestions and ideas at thismomentpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you follow us on Instagram at thismomentpodcast. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.